If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now, here's your host, Chris Elfheim.
Well, hello, it is Chris Elfheim. This is The Rational Revolution. Welcome all, for the first time, for many times. Either way, welcome to us. Once again, Rational Revolution, we are here having conversations about things that affect you, your kitchen table, your living room, just normal stuff with a political edge, and try and have a little bit of common sense going on. Tonight, I'm excited to share with you, we have the fabulous, the awesome, the Mayor Jake Woodford from Appleton, Wisconsin, my colleague, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Why not talk about politics? What season is this for you down in City Hall?
It is budget season. We are in the thick of it.
I know it's budget season because I have a 697-page binder full of pages of numbers and stats.
Yeah, and I'm not sorry.
You're not?
I'm not.
All right, fine. So I'm excited to have you on the show because I want to talk about things. Again, I don't think, let's put it this way. I've only been on city council now for about, 2.5 years? Mm-hmm. And the amount of information and knowledge that I had no concept of before I showed up for my first meeting is enormous. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's kind of fun to help people understand all these kind of nuts and bolts that go on in the budget and really in a city, what you're trying to balance. I think that, and tonight, by the way, please do text in. Our text number is 920-264-0606. You can always use the Civic Media app. Hit that button. Ask questions about your local community in terms of services that you want, services that you've lost. You know, let's just talk about things. But Jake, if you can, tell us, what do you think what's the biggest, well, let's start fun. What's your favorite thing about being mayor of Appleton? Ooh.
This is always a hard question because it depends on the day. It depends on the moment, what's going on. Because there are so many incredible aspects to serving a community in this way. I got to walk to school with kids last week. It was part of National Safe Routes to School advocacy, and a couple of schools in Appleton participate in this. And I got to walk to school with kids who they get little raffle tickets, and they get
you
to
were the
put,
prize.
They get yeah, they get to put their little tickets in the basket of the celebrity air
right.
quotes that they want to walk to school with. And so I got to walk to school with kids, and that to me is such a special part of this role, that just holding this role.
Yeah.
And I see it as a role that I hold. It's a role that I have right now. It's not me. I'm Jake. Mm-hmm. My job is mayor.
Right.
But by bringing that role out into the community and sharing it's really special. It's special mm-hmm. to share with the community and share with kids. And we had a great walk. Walk to school.
I've seen pictures, and the smiles on your face were almost as big as the smile on the kids.
I really love it. Yeah, I really love it. Although one of the kids I was there to walk with ended up being way more interested in the Appleton East High School robotics team.
Well, duh.
He was like, this is really cool. I was like, I don't blame you.
No.
I don't blame you.
Robots are fun.
Yeah,
robots
really cool.
All right, so there's fun stuff we know, but now let's tell us about the nuts and bolts. When you came in, and you've been a mayor now, when did you come into office?
It's been about 3.5 years. So April of 2020.
April of 2020.
Yeah.
So in that time, tell me what the biggest surprise was in terms of maybe in the negative side, not negative, but the biggest challenge that you've seen in your 3.5 years so far.
Well, I came in at a very complicated time in our community, a very complicated time in our country. The pandemic was really in full swing at that point, and it was still in those early days of the pandemic where, it was safer at home was happening, and so just navigating, joining an organization where you're a good chunk of your workforce is working from home, and then the other part of your workforce is in high risk positions where, you know, they got to show up. They got to be there every day. And so that was really complicated. And then on top of that, the civil unrest that happened over the course of that summer after the murder of George Floyd, mm-hmm. and then later in the summer, the shooting of Jacob Blake, and the civil unrest around that, the national conversations that were happening around that were very complicated and playing out in Appleton too.
Yeah.
And I think that having that crisis up front in this work was in a way helpful, in a strange sense, you know, helpful in terms of this is what the job demands and this can happen. You know, these things happen in communities and any moment the phone can ring and you can be dealing with crisis. You can be dealing with a moment that requires leadership and management. And I think that I knew that going in a sort of, I could understand it, but it was abstract and it's concrete now in a very different way.
It was amazing to me. My first week on city council, well, maybe first 2 weeks, but there were discussions and heated discussions on the Pacific Island, on racism, on women's rights.
Yeah.
I never thought at a city council that this was something that we would deal with, but we do because it's the world around us. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing. We're going to talk about the day-to-day kind of stuff, but the reality is everything affects us. And you are, as a mayor, dealing with world-style issues in our own little community, which is crazy. So let's talk budget.
Yeah.
What do you find to be, just to throw it out there so that people know, what's the annual budget for Appleton?
Annual budget ranges from $170 to $190 million a year. About $70 million of that is operating, and the rest is various other revenues and expenses. But, you know, sizable budget. We have 647 FTEs. We swing up to
FTEs
about—
FTEs meaning full-time employees.
Full-time employees, yep. And we swing up to about 1,200 employees with our seasonal workforce in the summer, so running pools and park programs and so on. So we're a sizable organization and complex.
Absolutely. And when you talk about operating budget, what's the difference? What does that entail?
Yeah, so there are a couple of different budgets within the city budget. So there's the overall city budget. So when I talk about $170 to $190 million, that's the total budget. But the budget's broken up into different budgets within. And so there's the general fund, and that's effectively our operating budget. General fund comes from property tax levy. Mm-hmm. But then we have other budgets like enterprise funds. So we have enterprise funds for our utilities, for example. So your water utility, wastewater utility, the stormwater utility, parking utility. These are all enterprise funds within the city budget. But they're paid for by users rather than by the general fund, by property tax levy. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you get a water bill, and the amount on your water bill will include the other services that get paid for through the utility bill, but you're paying for your water use based on your water use. That's not coming from your property tax, right? So that's the enterprise funds then that also flow into the into the budget.
There's a lot of conversation about public safety, the police department, the fire department, EMS. All these things have been in the state news, especially.
Yeah.
So, remind, and I know a lot of the answers, but I'm going to make you tell them.
Okay.
In our budget, how much of our budget in Appleton goes towards public safety?
50%.
50%.
And I would say, that's 50% to police and fire.
Yep.
And then there are other aspects of other budgets that still relate to safety in the community. But in terms of police department and fire department, that is 50% of the city's budget.
And that's been that way for how long?
For a long, long time. And that's true of most communities.
Yeah.
That those are your most sizable budgets.
Yeah. I think, again, there's a lot of conversation about we're not putting enough towards this. 50% of a $121 million budget.
Yeah. I mean, and that's... You said it. It's not enough necessarily.
No.
But I think when you consider it's not enough for police and fire, it's also not enough for all the other things that we do as a municipality. But in terms of where we see need on public safety, it's presence of law enforcement in the community. It's also the training and resources that they need to do their work. Law enforcement is an increasingly complex field, and so the resources required to do that, are ever changing. And then EMS, another issue that communities across the state are facing. How does EMS get staffed? How does it get paid for? How does it get reimbursed?
Yeah.
So, you know, these are complications.
There's a lot of conversation about coordinating resources. You hear a lot of things, you know, and again, there's a big conversation about, you know, basically shrinking government, but do this and that. And I hear about coordination of benefits. So share with us, and again, this is Appleton, and I hope to have Mayor Gingrich from up in Green Bay as well. But share with me some things that we already do or we have been doing in terms of cooperative to save on resources or share resources.
I'm glad you brought this up because that is the rhetoric. It's like, well, why can't these communities all, you know, consolidate and share resources and do things together? And we have some great examples as a community. One of those is our Weights and Measures program. So Appleton is home to the largest Weights and Measures consortium in the state. Weights and Measures is consumer protection. So they go out and test all the scales. It's like when you fill up your car with gas, how do you know that you're actually getting a gallon? How do you know?
Blind faith.
Yeah. Well, actually, you can trust it because it's been tested by our Weights and Measures division.
Hmm.
So they go out and they test to make sure that it's dispensing what it says it's going to dispense. They go out and test scales in grocery stores to make sure that the scales are accurate.
God forbid we overpay for our bananas at 29 cents a pound.
Yeah, but it's a big deal.
It is.
It's a big deal. And so we work with a number of communities in our area to have a Weights and Measures program. And that's an area, that's a place where we do share resources and give a great service to the communities that we serve. But,
yeah.
You know, it's a lot less expensive when you have one community in this case carrying out that function and managing it and then contracting out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that all of us in government, our goal is not to have the biggest government possible. The goal is to provide the services that take care of our people in the best possible way. With a minute left, give me another example of a shared resource.
Well, we support a neighboring municipality, a neighboring community with their maintenance of traffic signals. So that's another place where we help out. But it's not about shrinking government, but we also are trying to respond and meet the needs of our community.
Absolutely.
And that's where the rubber meets the road.
I love it. All right. We are in the midst of a conversation with Mayor Jake Woodford talking about what affects your kitchen table. Come on back. We are at Rational Revolution. I'm getting the sign from my new friend Jet here. We got 30 seconds. So we are enjoying the evening and the conversation. Don't forget to text in 920-264-0606. Civic Media, come on back with Rational Revolution. Talk to you soon. Just do what I please. Revolution, a rational one where we can just have civilized dialogue, talk to each other like adults. It's okay to disagree from time to time. Don't you agree? I know. I love this. All right. We are back with our favorite Mayor Jake Woodford of the city of Appleton. And now we're going to get into a little nuts and bolts. We're going to talk about services, right? So I know in my world, I deal with a lot of people that are missing things or little by little things are taken away or they're important to them. So let's just talk about city dynamics right now and where, and Appleton is not alone in this, but where our communities are in terms of trying to provide services while balancing budgets.
Yeah. So this is a complex issue and there's not any one thing we can put our finger on in terms of the challenges that we're dealing with. I think a great example in Appleton is we used to have this unlimited bulky item collection curbside. So people could put stuff out on the curb and our sanitation crew would go out and pick it up.
Right.
Well, the city's grown and also the demands on that service grew. Tipping fees at the landfill increased. And injuries to our workforce started to increase. And we were noticing a lot of comp claims related to that pickup, especially in the winter. You know, our people are out trying to pick up heavy items off of curbsides in the snow and ice. And so a bunch of factors at play, but ultimately came down to not having the resources available to continue that service in a safe way. Seemed like a minor thing to make an adjustment like that, but it was a couple of years ago now that we made that change, and I still hear from people in the community. And this is tough when you say, okay, we want to control costs, we want to control the cost of living and mitigate increases in property taxes and fees, but we don't want to give up any services.
Right.
We don't want to have bumpy roads. We don't have water main breaks. And those things are in tension.
Right.
And it's in that tension where we build a municipal budget.
Right.
We're trying to balance between those two. And in some cases, that resource constraint is put on municipalities as a matter of policy decisions that have been made.
Yeah.
And so we do our best when we build budgets to try and maintain the level of service that our community relies on and to prioritize the services that are most important to the people in the community. But that gets harder and harder every year as the increasing cost of those services goes up at a rate faster than the rate of our increasing in resources.
Right. We're going to get into a little on the shared revenue because you and I have had many conversations about this.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to do because even though there was a victory, it was a small battle, not the actual war. But I will say that my perspective is that everyone is happy to cut things that they don't need. That's just true. And if everybody just thinks about that, everybody will point at a service that the city provides that they don't utilize, that they then think is unnecessary. But you have to remember that the other people are doing the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, we're all quite selfish. We mm-hmm. all want to have all of the services, but we all are upset that we're paying for a service that we may not utilize.
You know, and I think this is such an interesting issue because we don't always recognize the interconnected nature of the services and our quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take parks and recreation programming, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say, I don't use it,
right.
I don't have kids, don't need it, I don't use it, why are my tax dollars paying for parks and rec playground programs?
Right.
Well, if we don't have those programs, then what are those kids going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Unstructured, unsupervised in the summer.
Loiter in the streets.
What's going to happen?
Right.
And then what's going to happen is they're going to have different interactions that require taxpayer dollars. And those interactions are going to be far less positive and productive.
Right.
And they're going to demand more resources for law enforcement, for example.
Right.
And so it's interconnected.
Yeah, it's all connected. And I think that really is the message that people need to understand. Everything is connected. And if we drop the ball on one side, it's going to affect you sooner or later. You just don't realize. Mm-hmm. Every child in our community is the future leader of our community.
Mm-hmm.
They're the future employees. They're the future teachers. They're the future business leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to give them that opportunity to become the best version of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody has the opportunity to go to the traveling ball team.
No.
Not every family. In fact,
not
most families
means.
Don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
We get into this rhythm of we understand what our backyard looks like, and we assume that everyone lives that same life. That's not true.
Yeah,
that's not true. And so we have to think for the future in what we do today, and that's part of keeping a healthy community.
Mm-hmm.
What else is I going to ask you about? Oh, shared revenue. Shared revenue. So
yeah.
We did get an increase from Madison, which we are thankful for.
Yes.
We've shared that with the state. They increased our revenue by 20%.
Yeah, the shared revenue. Yeah.
The shared revenue by 20%, which is, for those not paying attention, 2 minutes. For those not paying attention, coming out of sales tax. From
state sales tax.
State sales tax. We are now, the cities are getting 20%. We get 20% more than we did last time.
Yes.
Where does it still leave us in terms of, we have 1 minute for this answer.
Okay.
I know you could go on for seven on this one, but shoot it out there.
Yeah. So the shared revenue increase was welcome news for communities. It was something that I actually traveled around the state to advocate for and very thankful for the change. But just to put it in perspective, since we're talking about public safety this evening, we got about $2 million, $1.9 million in new shared revenue, which was restricted in its use, by the way.
Yep.
So we were preempted in terms of how we can use it. But if we just look at carrying forward the existing labor agreements with police and fire, if those just continue forward, total labor expenses going into 2024 increase $1.1 million.
That's just the
existing staffing.
Increase.
Existing staffing, current labor agreements rolling forward into 2024. So that's 1.1 million of the 1.9 spoken for, if you look at it that way, before
right.
we've done anything else.
So what is, in 15 seconds, what is the best way that the residents of Appleton or any community could help their property tax situation? What's the best thing they could do?
Best thing they can do, continue to advocate for more shared revenue. The state has accrued a massive surplus, and there's a whole lot more that can be done for schools and communities across the state.
Absolutely. Keep on pushing for shared revenue. This is Chris Alfheim, Rational Revolution. Been here with Mayor Jake Woodford out of Appleton. Jake, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I look forward to having you on the next time. It's me and Todd on the backside of this show, so come on back and join us. Thanks again, Mayor Jake.
Thank you.
If you'd like to join the Rational Revolution and engage, download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Choose your station, WGBW or WISS, and click on the text button in the lower right-hand corner. Looking at today's issues through a politically purple lens, this is the Rational Revolution. And once again, here's Chris Alfheim.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. It is Chris Alfheim in Rational Revolution. It's a dreary Thursday night, but I have smiling faces here in the studio with me. I'm on this side all by myself, which means Todd has to turn up his mic. Todd, can you hear me?
I want to apologize because I had the wrong mic turned up for you on that break.
I know.
Back. It's just weird. Normally, the lead person always sits in that chair with all the shows that I produce.
What part of me seems normal to you?
Well, I'm not going to answer that one.
Did you hear the sound that Jet just made?
Yeah.
Jet, are you on? I like this guy. I like this guy. All right, so we just got done spending some time with Mayor Jake talking budgets and talking shared revenue. But we're going to talk, and I'm going to put the boys on the spot a little bit here, and we're going to talk about our local services. So we're talking local politics and things that may drive us crazy or things that we wish we could have, and just have a conversation about it. And you can join us. Use the Civic Media app and text in. You can give us a call, 920-264-0606. So Jet or Todd, you're up, ready. So the question is, what is one thing in your community that you wish you had in terms of a service that you don't?
Boy, that's kind of tough. Because I'm not somebody that thinks that way. But I will say this. I live in Oshkosh. And one of the things there that drives me crazy is the condition of the streets in Oshkosh.
Oh, my God, the potholes.
It's really ridiculous. And there's parts of the city that are just, it's like, you know, having dirt roads, worse than dirt roads because of the damage. So that's the one thing that I look at. And I'm like, this is just something that I think over the years we could have improved on way back.
Yeah.
And we just haven't.
It's so hard. I mean, when you look at a budget, any municipality has their budget for roads. And we have hundreds and hundreds of miles that have to be fixed. And then on a county level, all of the county roads, and you start adding in the agricultural impact, and you've got big trucks and tractors on these roads, and they're getting worse. And then you have the highway system, which is the state. And to me, the most irritating thing is that they will pop a brand new roundabout to me in the middle of nowhere, and yet we can't get a pothole filled.
Right.
And it's because there's three different units working on the streets. Again, the highways, there's a great big organization that pushes to make sure that we have the infrastructure on 41 and on 43 that are taking big vehicles to and fro, which was it's necessary from a commerce standpoint and a safety. But then you get these community roads that just get ignored. And this goes back to the whole budget conversation of out of $121 million, why can't we fill the potholes? Because there's so many potholes and there's so many things that we're trying to do in that same budget.
Yeah.
Jed, how about you, your community?
I would say that I'm fairly new to Green Bay. I would say trying to go to the cultural institutions that are in the city. I say by now, admission to all of those should be completely free. The $10 here, the $11 there.
Yeah.
You're paying almost $40 just to look.
Yeah.
I think there's no excuse, especially with the Packers here, that, you know, the tourist like funding that comes into the city.
Yeah.
Like those institutions should be free.
It's so hard.
In all caps, like free.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely understand that. And I wish that I could walk in every place and not have to worry about it. And honestly, they should pay me. I mean, I really think that would be more fun.
That sounds just like you. I mean, totally.
I'm here. I'll take $10.
No.
But it's true. I mean, we all want things, right? And you'd think that there wouldn't be a price tag. But I know in Appleton right now, every conversation as we talk about the budgets as we go through is, are we revenue neutral? Mm-hmm. So our whole goal is not to make money as a community. It's to pay the bills. That's it. And even with fees, little fees, you know, like a fee to have something picked up or a fee to get a license so you can have a fire. You know, all these things, there's little fees. Those fees have to keep going up because to manage those, to administrate them, labor and maintenance, the cost on things. So as much as a community wants to provide all of the resources, we can't. We absolutely can't. And it's a matter of trying to find balance and try to offer all the opportunities. And then the question is, what do we take out? So if you were in charge of a budget in any community, and it doesn't have to be Green Bay for you, Jet, but in any community, if there were a service that's provided that you think is useless, what would you take away?
That's tough. How would you do that?
Oh, there's a lot of people that want to do it. I've heard, I'll give you suggestions. I've heard that communities should sell off all of their parking. All of their parking units because they're expensive to maintain and private parties could take them over. What's the downfall of that?
Well, I can't imagine what the pricing would be on something like that.
That's
right?
The problem, right? So as many people that will complain about the cost of parking in Green Bay or in Appleton, the reality is we're not trying to make any money. We're trying to be revenue neutral. So we just bring in enough money to pay for its own maintenance and the staffing of it. If we sell that off, we would have a drop in cost. But then what happens when the private party comes in and their job is to make a profit? So now they're going to increase the cost of parking. Now who's going to come downtown? Who's going to do that? So there's a negative effect that goes with everything that we do. Parking is a great example of it. Libraries are a huge issue. There's a lot of people. And I will tell you, 2.5 years ago, I wasn't sure why we would spend a huge amount of money on a new library. But if you really pay attention, if you learn about a community and a neighborhood and you realize what a tremendous, necessary resource a library is, you realize that not having a library will affect you. I don't care where you live in a community. If there is no library, that means that the community itself is not getting what they need. There are so many families that literally don't have internet. They don't have internet. And we're not talking about rural communities where the broadband is that bad. We're talking about they don't have it in the middle of a city. How are those kids doing their homework?
And we've seen, you know, we've seen libraries services change over the years, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because we can get so much information now online, but the services that those libraries provide, much different than they were 10, 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, huge, huge resources to people. So again, I said this with Mayor Jake, I think everybody is excited to cut things. They just don't know what to tell you to cut. And if they do tell you something to cut, it's something that they don't think they need, but they don't realize the effect. I had somebody ask me in my neighborhood why we would have tax incremental financing districts. In essence, why we give tax breaks to developers as they come in. And they think that's a waste of money. Well, okay, let's say you have a part of town that is in disrepair and it's hard to get developers in to do anything. You need new housing. If you don't offer some type of a tax break, they're not going to come. If you don't do some type of remediation in that community, what happens to that neighborhood?
Goes away, right?
It
falls apart.
It goes down the hill and crumbles. And when that happens, what happens to you on the other side of the river to your property values if half of your town is living in disarray? Does that make any sense to you?
No.
No, so for as a community, you have to realize that everybody, it's an ecosystem. And you may be on the far edge of it, but whatever they do in that community does affect you. Now, don't get me wrong, from a property tax standpoint, I get it. When I lived in the central Wisconsin area, I had a large house on a lake. I looked at about 2 miles of water. And my property taxes on a 3,600 square foot house was probably $5,000. When I moved to Green Bay, I lived in a 3,500 square foot house. My taxes were $6,800. No water. Now that I live in Appleton, my taxes are around $7,000. So that's a lot. That's a lot.
I mean, that's a interesting problem because environmentally as well, you know, when you have empty lot after empty lot, we're talking like in our language, you know, with global warming and, and our cities warming up, you know, those hot spots, you know, just pavement after pavement, you know, with no trees.
Yep.
They're heat islands, you know, in the middle of the city.
Oh, no doubt.
And that's causing a huge problem.
Yep.
So, like I said, environmentally, that's costing us as well, you know, in the long run.
Yeah.
Of having undeveloped, like, property.
Well, and we got to look at it, too, the environment. We look at the water systems in any city. The environmental impact, and again, you've got the people that think it doesn't exist. You got the people that think it's the only issue on the planet. And the reality is we're in the middle there someplace. But I will tell you that the warming is an issue. The extreme weather swings that we are feeling, whether they're forever or it's cyclical or not, I'm not the scientist. But what I do know is that it has an impact on our community. And the amount of money that we have to spend in managing water, managing runoff, managing storm water.
Crazy. You know, as a someone with a useless architecture degree, very useless, very expensive, useless. They tell you that the hardest thing to deal with design is how to keep water in your, out of your building.
Mm-hmm.
Because water is extremely destructive.
Oh, yeah. I just spent a week down on the ocean in Puerto Rico, and there is nothing. I know. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I follow you on Facebook.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
Enough. Right. For the rest of us, enough.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, enough.
I'm just saying.
Sounds lovely.
There's two things in the life you could remind yourself that Mother Nature is in charge and not you. One is standing next to the ocean. And they're the pure power, the pure natural power of that water moving. And the other, thunderstorm. Go stand naked in a thunderstorm and you think you're in charge. You will quickly remember you're not.
No, please tell me that you've not done that.
Of course I have.
Of course.
Like, if you haven't.
Recently?
No. Well,
somebody call the cops.
I mean, at appropriate locations.
Oh, well, you didn't say that.
I'm not saying in the middle of Washington Street.
Well, it seemed a little risque.
All right. PSA, don't go stand naked anywhere in public to test that theory.
Chris Elfheim did not tell you to
Chris
do
Elfheim
that.
Chris Elfheim did absolutely not tell you to do that. I'm just saying it's very freeing.
I would agree.
But it's true. I mean, again, this is the nuts and bolts of politics and municipalities and counties that we're trying to deal with. And it's not the same. People always talk about back in the day. Well, back in the day, we didn't realize the problems that we would have. Back in the, and this is another Puerto Rico story. So in Puerto Rico, their infrastructure, you can tell, is from the 50s. You can tell that their street design was done back in the day when money was pumped in to that island. And when money came back out of the island, they stopped doing all of the funding. The engineering stopped. The repairs stopped. And it doesn't work as well. Traffic doesn't flow as well because they're not using modern design. Mm. They're not using modern technology in terms of managing the water and managing the traffic flow.
Right.
These are things that we deal with. And as we advance and understand that we have more people than we've ever had, moving in more places at the same time, then our infrastructure and our systems to keep us safe, to keep us healthy, to keep us acclimated where we are, all continue to change. And with change, guess what that is? Money. And when you don't have enough revenue coming in, and I'll throw more in there on shared revenue, yes, we got a 20% bump, but we were 48% behind where we were. 48% behind. So we still don't have enough. And when you don't have enough of the state of Wisconsin revenue tax coming back to the communities to take care of our kitchen tables and our couches, that means we end up having to go to the taxpayers locally to do it, which now means you're paying for it twice. You're paying through it in state taxes and they're not giving it back, and you have to pay for it in property taxes. And it's not a good situation, but we have to realize there's still an issue. And if you're in a situation where you're angry about taxes going up or maybe services coming down, the issue is in Madison. The issue is in Madison, and we can't stop that conversation from going on. We need to continue to do more. We are having fun here. It is Thursday night on the Rational Revolution. I am Chris Elfheim. This is 97.9, the Talk of Green Bay, 98.3, Oshkosh Air Support. My friends, Todd and Jet, are on the call with me talking municipalities. Come on back on the other side of the break. Chris Elfheim, Rational Revolution.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge.
I love this song.
Waiting for a train when I was feeling
new. No, it's not karaoke. All right, fine. This is Chris Elfheim, Rational Revolution, sitting here downtown Green Bay with my favorite song and my friends Todd and Jet, and we are talking politics. As a heads up, what's coming up in the upcoming weeks, we have next week, we have my favorite conservative alderperson, Mr. Dean Rash, coming back on. That's always fun.
That is fun. You guys actually have a really nice relationship.
We do.
And
we do.
When you guys are on, you can have the deep conversations without it getting nasty, which
absolutely.
I really enjoy.
Last time he was on, we actually had some really, really good conversations.
Yes. Yep.
I enjoy that. And I look forward to him coming on. We keep him on pretty often. The following week, on November 1st, we have Secretary of State Sarah Godleski coming into town.
Nice.
Actually, no, she's going to call in, but she's going to be talking about really how municipalities and the Secretary of State and how that works together. So that's fun. And then we have in a few more weeks, we've got former Congressman Reed Ribble coming back on. I believe that might be the first week of December. But lots of good things happening. Again, we like to have civilized conversations, talking about things that matter to you. We're going to end the show today on a conversation that we don't always talk about. And the boys are looking at me because they have no idea what I'm about to say.
No clue.
They're a little bit afraid. Yeah. But we're going to talk a little bit about the dysfunction. Just a little bit about the dysfunction that's going on. And y'all know that I try real hard not to get into the fray of the daily news. But let's just kind of talk philosophically a little bit about the air that we're in right now. And what do we, you know, what do we feel about what's going on in our world? Todd, you start.
Well, this show has always been kind of important to me because I've always felt like what goes on this show, the conversations that take place on this show, the respect and the way the discussions are handled on this show is what I'd like to see in politics,
yeah.
Right? That's what I would like to see. I would like to see everybody come together and say, well, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. Now, how can we make this work for the people of the state, for the people of our cities, whatever that is?
Right.
That's what I want, right?
Absolutely.
When I go to vote, I want those people to work for me. I want them to find decisions and make things work so it's for my life to be better and
right.
for others in the community to be better.
You know, it's not a foreign concept. I don't think that
it used to be that way.
Yeah. You know, and I think the one thing that continues to be on my mind as I, you know, I'll drive down the highway and I'll see a sign. First, I hate the fact that political signs / flags / bumper stickers exist year round. I hate that.
Yeah.
I wish we somehow could, again, free speech, okay, fine. But it used to be we never left political signs up after an election. But it drives me crazy that our children, who are sponges, they are sponges of knowledge. Every moment of every day, a child is learning from what they're seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, that this is what they're learning. The environment that we're in right now, the contentious, the mean-spirited conversations, the name-calling, the F-bombs that are literally pasted on walls, it's so wrong. What are we doing? What are we teaching our children? And again, I don't care what side of the aisle. You know I have friends on both sides of the aisle. It doesn't matter. What happened to civilized behavior?
I mean, you're right, because I tell people that I've seen the original Constitution and the Declaration of Independence at least three times at the National Archives.
Mm-hmm.
Just how powerful it is, knowing that every generation, since my grandfather, has fought World War II.
Wow.
You know, father in Vietnam, my uncle, Vietnam, or a close relative that's been in a major war. And to see, you know, our Capitol Hill just bicker, you know, and play like children.
Bad, unruly. Children that need to be disciplined.
Children who have no idea. As children have never heard the word, you know, democracy.
Yeah. You know, and I think I was listening to one of the shows on the drive up, and they're talking about, obviously, the GOP is in a struggle bus right now in terms of leadership. But we'll just go with struggle bus.
Yeah.
But what strikes me funny is that, you know, there's a handful. Obviously, they're in their own strife right now. But anyone who stands up and says, hey, you know, we got to find a compromise, we got to take some action, they're literally from their own party getting death threats because somebody wouldn't vote for somebody. What? Why are we doing this? This is, I just don't get it. I don't understand how the concept of being civil and having a
tolerance,
the bottom line is if you in this world, especially, and I'm going to say this, and you know, I try to be balanced best I can, but especially on the GOP side, if you do not fall in step, then you will be primaried out. And everybody knows that, because money comes from the dark. And if you aren't in lockstep, nodding your head every time somebody wants something, if you try to step out and actually lead and think for yourself for the best of your constituents, they will primary you out. That's not right. It's not the way it's supposed to be, which means the only way you can have accountability and let leaders become leaders in Madison and in Washington is to get the money out. You have to get the money out so we can get back to actually based on performance. Performance-based elections should matter.
You had that conversation on the show before, getting the money out right?
Huge.
Why can't we do that? How, Chris, how do we get to that point where the money's gone and we finally get back to politics the way it has been in our country and the way it really should be?
Most people, like myself, until recent history, were not paying attention to the importance of who gets elected and who gets to appoint Supreme Court justices on a national level. That's the reality. So the rules that are in play right now are upheld by the Supreme Court that say corporations, dark money, can exist in politics. That is the law that has to change. And it can't change until the Supreme Court goes back to a rational decision, back to a not bought and paid for situation, which is there's clear evidence of that fact. So where you look at a presidential candidate and you think, I don't really like that gal or I don't really like that guy, the reality is that you no longer in this situation can vote for the individual. You have to vote for the philosophy of who will see the changes in the future that you want to see happen. So you may not like Biden, but if you don't like money in politics, you have to then be on the side of blue, because the philosophy will then, as appointees come through, you want them to be on your side. Most of us don't connect the dots between local politics, state politics, national politics, and these judge situations. They matter. They matter greatly to all of us. And it's because of our own complacency, to be honest, that we're in the situation that we're in. Most people just want to live a good life, to take care of people, to take care of those around them, and to not pay too much in taxes. That's just who we are.
Sounds good to me.
Right. And if we can just get back to that, which takes a little rational thought. Listen, this has been The Rational Revolution. I am Chris Alfheim. Thanks for joining us tonight on this dreary Thursday evening. Again, next week we will have Dean Rash, alderperson, conservative friend of mine from De Pere. We enjoy being here with you. I hope you enjoy hearing us as well. We look forward to seeing you next week on Green Bay. Talk of Green Bay. Thanks for being here. Talk to you soon. Bye.